Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, located at 1600 South Main Street. Our congregation has had the privilege of serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. May God bless you as together we continue building on the rock. Welcome to St. Peter's Lutheran Church. Visitors, we're glad that you're with us. Please fill out a guest card and place it in the offering plate later on during the service. Today we have the confirmation of Sarah Nicole LaRange, and we're also beginning our celebration of the quincentennial, the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. We'll be focusing on the solas, sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, that we're saved by grace alone, by faith alone, and all of this comes to us by scripture alone. And today we will focus on sola fide, by faith alone. The congregation may stand for the order of worship. Page 15, if you'd like to follow along in the front of the hymnal, it's also printed out in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The first lesson is recorded in Genesis chapter 15. God had made promises to Abram that sounded impossible, including the birth of a son to this senior citizen and his infertile wife. At this point, Abram and Sarai had no son. But Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord credited his faith to him as righteousness. By faith in Jesus, we have His righteousness credited to us, and so we are also saved by faith. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. That was his chief servant. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, chapter 4. Abraham believed in the God who calls things that are not as though they were, the God who has power to do what he has promised. The righteousness that was credited to Abraham by faith is credited to us who believe in God who raised Jesus from the dead. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, that's the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, that's the Gentiles. He is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you a father of many nations." He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is the word of our God. Alleluia, alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Please rise for the gospel. The gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 16.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
As Peter followed Jesus, he became more and more convinced that Jesus is the Son of God and the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, who was to come into the world. Jesus told Peter that his faith in the person and work of Jesus was revealed to him by God the Father. In this text, Peter clearly confesses his faith in who Jesus is and in the saving work Jesus came to do. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And that "you" in Greek is plural. So Peter is speaking for all of the apostles. Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not see, they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is God's word. The congregation may be seated. Dear fellow children of and beneficiaries of the Lutheran Reformation, October 31st of this month will mark the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Lutheran Reformation. On that date, in 1517, Dr. Martin Luther, who was a Roman Catholic monk, who was a Roman Catholic priest, who was a professor of sacred scripture at the University of Wittenberg, Germany, nailed his 95 theses to the castle church door in Wittenberg. Those 95 theses questioned the sale of indulgences, which were worthless pieces of paper that the Pope said would allow the purchaser to get out of this fictitional place of suffering called purgatory. For years already, Martin Luther had been bothered by the abuses of his church. He was raised and was taught that in order to get to heaven, that he had to do good works. But he knew that no matter how hard he strived to do good works, no matter how hard he strived to be righteous and perfect, he could never have the holiness that he needed to stand before a just and holy God. His loud and accusing conscience terrorized him and terrified him. He was sure he was going to hell. But that all drastically changed one day, a few years before the beginning of the Reformation, after he had gone through what Luther described as his tower experience. Luther's study was in the tower of the Augustinian monastery in Wittenberg, and he was in his study and he was meditating on the words of Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, which say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written in the prophet, the righteous will live by faith. As he meditated on those words, the Holy Spirit led him to an understanding that it was not his own righteousness that could get him to heaven, but it was a righteousness from outside of him. It was Christ's righteousness, which was freely given to him and appropriated and grabbed onto by Spirit-worked faith in his heart. And he said when he came to realize that he's saved by grace, by faith alone, it was as if the portals of paradise had been flung wide open for him. Now he hung the hat of his salvation not on his own flimsy attempts at trying to be perfect. He hung his hat of salvation squarely on Jesus and his righteousness, his perfection, his holiness that became Luther's through faith. All of the scripture teaches that you and I are saved sola fide. That's Latin for by faith alone. And as we are familiar with this question from the Small Catechism, what does this mean? Well, faith blindly trusts in God's promises, and faith holds on to unseen blessings. Perhaps the greatest Old Testament figure in the Old Testament that demonstrates the fact that you and I are saved by grace alone is that great patriarch, Abraham. Abraham lived 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Abraham lived 400 miles up north in a city named Haran, 400 miles away from the promised land of Canaan. Abraham was 75 years old. His wife Sarah was 65 years old, and she had always been barren. She had always been sterile. But in spite of that fact, the Lord promised Abraham that he would be the forefather of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. He promised him, saying, "I will make you into a great nation, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring." Well, if the Savior was going to be born as one of Abraham's descendants, there needed to be a place for that Savior to be born. And so God told Abraham, "Leave your country, leave your people, leave your family, your father's household, and go to a place that I will show you." And this 75-year-old man immediately pulled up stakes and headed out. And the amazing thing about it is that he had no idea where he was going. He had no map. He had no GPS. He just simply went, blindly trusting God's promise that he would safely arrive at his destination. 400 miles later, after being exposed to the elements, exposed to wild animals, exposed to bandits, he arrived safely in the promised land of Canaan. 10 years went by. He was 85 years old. His wife, Sarai, was 75 years old. And she was still barren. Still no child. But what did God do? He took Abraham outside at night. He said, "Look up into the heavens. Count the stars if you can count them. So shall your offspring be." That seemed impossible, because he was not physically able to be the father of a baby. As the Bible says, he was as good as dead. As far as fathering a child, he was kaput. And the womb of his wife Sarah was twice dead. Not only was she past the age of childbearing, but she had always been infertile and sterile. But what happened? Did Abraham doubt? What does it say? Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abraham did not waver in his faith. He believed that God could do what he had promised. And that blind faith in God's promise of a Savior, that he would do what he had promised, was credited to his account as righteousness. He was declared not guilty of all of his sins. Abraham, with believing eyes, looked ahead 2,000 years to the birth of his Savior. And through that faith, he was declared not guilty and made an heir of eternal life. And how vitally important it was for Father Abraham to be saved by faith alone, apart from good works, because his life was stained with sin. He was a liar. He was a deceiver. He was a person who trusted more in his own devices for protection than trusting in God's devices for protection. He was an adulterer. He failed to honor and protect his wife, exposing her to grave physical abuse. But in spite of all of those sins, Abraham was considered righteous and holy in God's sight. Why? Because in blind faith, he believed in God's promises of a Savior, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Like Abraham, who looked ahead 2,000 years to the Savior, you and I look back 2,000 years to the Savior. We look back with believing eyes, and like Abraham, we too need to be saved by faith alone, apart from good works. Because like Abraham, our lives are stained with sin as well. We have not always been honest. Sometimes we've been conniving and deceitful. We have not always trusted implicitly in our Heavenly Father for all that we need for our body and life. We have not always been pure in thought and word and action. We have lusted, we have coveted. You and I have not always put the needs of others above our own needs. You and I by ourselves do not have the righteousness that we need to get to heaven. By ourselves, we would perish eternally. So where do we turn? What are we to do? We turn to our God with blind faith in his promise of righteousness, that he provides us with righteousness. And whose righteousness is that? It's not our own. It's the righteousness of our Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One. He is the eternally begotten Son of God, and he cloaked himself in frail human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And he lived a sterlingly perfect life. He was always honest. He always had implicit trust in the Heavenly Father. He always lived a chaste and decent life. He never finagled. He never lied. He always put the needs of others above his own. But what happened after a perfectly flawless, righteous, holy, and pure life? Your sins and my sins, the sins of the whole world, were heaped on his perfect and innocent shoulders, and he carried them to the cross. And there in his flesh he received the condemnation of our transgressions. There he suffered hell and died so that we might enjoy heaven and live eternally. And he rose from the dead on the third day, declaring us not guilty of all of our sins. And all of these blessings come to you and to me by faith alone. God credits our faith to us as righteousness. When God looks at us, he doesn't see the sinners who we are because we are wrapped in Christ's robes of righteousness, and he sees his perfect children who are forgiven, who are restored, who are heirs of eternal life. Now, you and I have not ever taken a peek or a glimpse into the glories of heaven, and yet we know that heaven is there for us, and those glories are real. Because like Abraham, faith holds on to unseen blessings. God promised Abraham that his descendants would inherit the promised land of Canaan. But he never saw that happen in his life, but he believed it. It was an unseen promise that he knew would be fulfilled. God promised Abraham that he would have a permanent place, a permanent inheritance someday. But he never received that while he was on this earth, and yet he believed that he had a permanent inheritance. It was the unseen promise of the glory of heaven. And the way Abraham lived his life, he showed that he had faith, that he trusted in God's promise of unseen blessings, that he knew that he had a place waiting for us in heaven. Even the way he lived his life showed that he believed that he had that place, that city whose architect and builder is God, waiting for him in eternity. He never made a permanent dwelling place for himself or for his family. He always wandered from place to place in tents because he knew that he was nothing but a pilgrim on this earth, and that he was traveling through until he came to everlasting life. You see, you and I are aliens here on this earth. You and I are strangers here on this earth. We're simply traveling through a sin-filled world with all of its sorrows, with all of its trials and tribulations and heartaches, until we finally reach our heavenly home. And that is our permanent dwelling place. And that is why it is so foolish for us to set our hearts on anything that can be seen here on this earth, because what is seen is temporary. Fancy clothes get tattered and torn and worn out. Fancy cars get old and they rust. All of that money that you labor all of your life to amass slowly dwindles away. That dream house that you spend decades paying for is suddenly vacated when your soul vacates your body. All of the work that you put into staying physically fit will never be able to outpace death. Death eventually will outpace you. Everything that is seen here on earth is transitory. But brothers and sisters, children of the Lutheran Reformation, you and I know that we have unseen promises that are permanent. You and I know that we have a home in heaven, a home that will never perish, spoil, or fade. A home that was purchased with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A home that is ours by faith, apart from good works. A faith that God credits to us as Christ's righteousness. And so, as children of the Reformation, we can confess with those very fine and beautiful Lutheran words, "This is most certainly true." Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. Our address is 1600 South Main Street. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. We'll be back next week with another edition of Building on the Rock. Until then, God be with you.